we're excited, Mr. Benson, that you'll be coming to Nashville. And
yeah, me too. Yeah. I like that place. There's something about Nashville. Well, it's got such a great reputation.
Yeah.
For some great music, you know. So, and I keep thinking about the place I used to play there, the Grand Ole Opry years ago.
Uh-huh.
Chet Atkins used to come and hang out with me in the afternoon. And it was some great days. And then B.B. King's nightclub down there, incredible. I used to go there just to hang out in the afternoons, as a matter of fact, because it had the right vibe.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Now, how long has it been since you've been here?
If I said maybe 5 years or maybe a little more.
Okay. Okay. Well, I know that your fans can hardly wait for you to get here on September the 18th. You'll be at the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center. Are you with the symphony in this, George, or are you by yourself?
I don't know. That's something I haven't looked into. They just said I'm going to Nashville. But, I mean, I can go either way because I have the charts. You know what? I think we are working with the symphony.
Oh, so we're
But, you know, when I do things like that, I pick things that I do with them, and then I leave some of the raw stuff out so I can play, you know, for guitar lovers and, you know, people like myself.
Yeah.
They like to hear the guitar raw.
Yeah, yeah, they do. Yes, they absolutely
And the hits
do.
That we have, we mix it. We don't do the whole show with, you know, strings from one end to the other. We we use a variety approach.
Mm-hmm. So I know there are some of your standards that you have to play, and of course, Breezin', I'm sure, with strings or without, and that's required everywhere you go, isn't it?
That's right.
Now, is there another one? Like I was thinking, because in all my years, I played when I was a DJ back in those days. I had played your music on the air and in the clubs as both. R&B and kind of pop, and and you kind of fit into a lot of things, and then, you know, later on we're calling it contemporary jazz. What do you define your music as?
One guy said a phrase that stuck with me over the years. He called it progressive R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's R&B with jazz improvisations all over it. And it kind of worked for me, you know, but they haven't got around to that kind of thing yet. So people like little catchy phrases, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when they called it smooth jazz, that caught on, you know.
Yeah.
It's a category that they needed to pigeonhole a little bit so they could relate to it because everybody's coming from a different point of view, you know.
Yeah.
So it worked for quite a while here. So I'm happy with it, you know.
Well, I know we're happy with it. Because, you know, we can put a Benson on any time of the night or day, no matter what decade it's from, and it sounds just as fresh as the day you did it.
Well, we put our budgets into the albums. The record companies used to give me a lot of money to make these records.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that people would think was, well, he'll take most of that money and put it in his pocket, and he'll make a record with the rest of it. But it wasn't like that. I made the record first, and whatever was left, I took. But I made sure that we had a record that was competitive to the market that was out there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They had people spending $3 million to make a record.
Wow.
You can't come up with a $300,000 record and compete with that guy.
No kidding. You know? Well, your quality is absolutely there, and we adore the entire Benson collection. Now, when you're here in Nashville, I guess it's the Ultimate Benson Collection. Is that going to be part of what the audience will enjoy?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to hear a lot of things from that because I know what they like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after trying many different formats and trying it from this point of view, this angle, that one. I think we know what to do when we get in front of a crowd.
Oh, no question.
And I still don't have a program, basically.
Okay.
A set program, I should say.
Okay.
I play it by ear, And I reach up and grab something. My band knows if I play three notes, they know what I'm getting ready to play, and they jump on it.
Yeah.
And it's a little more exciting than having some paper to look at, you know, with words on it and stuff like that.
Yeah. George, were you friends with the late B.B. King?
Very good friends.
Can you talk about that for a minute?
Well, first of all, he was one of the most respected musicians in the world. Mm. He was a master of his trade. He never came off of that high respect that people had for what he did. And he was always excellent when he performed. You know, just the last days, the very last days, you know, the last, I don't know, better part of the year,
mm-hmm.
when things started falling apart, you know, it was a little less of him. But for my money, he's still the king of the blues.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a lot of great players, don't get me wrong, everywhere. And some say there's players who could outplay him. But he was so consistent with what he did,
mm-hmm.
he actually defined the blues for the rest of the world, I think.
So was it the consistency that carried him decade over decade over decade?
Well, he was also a quality musician.
Mm-hmm.
What he did very well. And he was always searching for how he could do it better.
Mm.
And I appreciated that about him. You know, he really liked to play some jazzy licks, mix it in, but he didn't want to lean too far in that direction
mm-hmm.
and spoil what the blues was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the blues is a very simply, you know, put a way of approaching
mm-hmm.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple story played with a lot of emotion on top of it. And the emotion comes from both from his voice and the guitar, but the guitar plays a big part.
Mm-hmm.
And he never let us down with that.
Well, in some of your popular songs and hits, your vocal accompaniment with your guitar was outstanding. And I'm saying right now, I can go play Love Times Love and Turn This Love Around and all that stuff. I could play all of it to this afternoon and be, and the audience will be just as happy. Our listeners will be just as happy as the day is long. So when you're doing the your thing with the symphony, you're not just going to play, but we're also going to get your vocals as well.
Definitely. Yeah, well, that's where they really excel. When we're doing this masquerade and things like that, and some of the other balance, the orchestra really gives an environment that
mm-hmm.
makes the song come alive
mm-hmm.
again,
mm-hmm.
especially for that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm allowed to improvise, you know,
mm-hmm.
during that performance and give it a fresh approach for that evening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a one-time performance.
Mm-hmm. Now, George, I want to know, I call it a freshness that certain of you all have in your music. So it doesn't matter when you made the cut. When you play it now, it's just like the day that it was done. Can you describe that to me? Because like you feel, it's like you feel good about it. You know, Give Me the Night and songs like that are on Broadway. You just feel good when you hear it. How do you describe your sound and the effect it has on people?
Well, contrary to what people believe, I don't get tired of it.
Mm.
What happened to me, I have a lot of friends who are superstars in the industry. And some of them, at a point in their life, they got tired of playing their hits.
Mm.
And they refused to play them again.
Mm.
And I don't have to tell you, their careers fell apart.
Mm.
It went way down. And so I said to myself, and this was before I had any hits, I said, boy, if I'm ever fortunate enough to get a hit record,
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to take that approach.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunate for me, I think the fortunate thing is that I've had good songs,
mm-hmm.
and they're a pleasure to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have that. Don't put nothing on a record that you're going to be sorry about later, you know, because you might end up having to play that for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the attitude that I have when I play those songs, I try to remember what it was we were after when we
mm-hmm.
first recorded it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that starts coming back to me during the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, yeah, okay, I'm into this again. And it feels just as good as it did the day we recorded, only with more things in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
I got things in my bag I can pull out that I couldn't pull out then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I add that to it. That's about it. But I don't want to spoil it. because, you know, if you put out something that's so new, people can't recognize the classic version, then it's no good. So I try to bring out things that relate to the classic version and put a little fresh lick here and there, mm-hmm. and it works.
Is everything in your current collection, the 2-CD collection, is it all your hits? Is there anything that's brand new in there that we'll be getting for the first time?
Well, there's a song in there called The One For Me, which I wrote many years ago. Mm-hmm. And when they put it in the record, it was good because the producer always wanted to put this record out. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, man, here's your chance. Mm-hmm. We're going to put it in this album. Boy, was he happy. Mm-hmm. And you know something? I fell back in love with that. You know, because I'm skeptical about my own writing. Mm-hmm. I like to find guys who are writers of hits. You know, like Rod Temperton, people like Michael Masser, you know, they write hits. That's mm-hmm. what they do. Mm-hmm. And it kept my career, gave me a career, and keeps it alive. So mm-hmm. I'm always anxious to do that. But every now and then I'll write something that appeals even to me. You know, I said, well, I can't believe I wrote that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's one of those songs. It's called The One For Me.
Okay.
And I wrote it with Dan Hill.
Okay.
You know who Dan Hill is?
I'm not sure.
He sang and wrote the song, Sometimes When We Kiss.
Oh, When We Touch. I was going to say Sometimes mm-hmm. When We Kiss. Yeah, definitely I know who that is.
Good cat. He's a good songwriter. And he wrote In Your Eyes. Wrote the lyrics to In Your Eyes.
Now, how much of your own music have you written or composed?
In the early days, before we became stars, I used to write a lot of songs. But they were little, you know, things just meant to show off my guitar. Mm-hmm. You know, they're little tricky little things, you know, simple, but kind of tricky all at the same time, meant to make the guitar stick out and show off. But I never had any hits doing that, you know. Once I started working with people who write hits, mm-hmm. my whole complexion of my show mm-hmm. changed, mm-hmm. and the attitude from the audience was much better, mm-hmm. you know.
So I guess for you, does that mean that you concentrate more on your playing than the laboring over the song?
Well, my vocal career, I thought was gone, because when I was a little boy, I made records as a vocalist, uh-huh. you know, 10 years old when I started making records. And when I entered my teens, I started seeking a guitar career. And I was hired as a guitar player. I was not good by any means yet. And I went on the road with Brother Jack McDuff, who gave me some great advice. And he nurtured my playing, and he cussed me out and forced me to, you know, to get on my own case and practice. And it paid off.
Yeah.
And finally, when I started getting the guitar together, somebody asked me to sing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, man, you know, I mean, I like to sing, but I haven't done this in a long time. So we sang This Masquerade on the record. And the reason why we did it was because the producer said, George, I heard you sing something about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and I could never understand why the record company are not using your voice. Mm-hmm. So when I signed with Warner Brothers, he was one of the staff producers. I said, that's the guy who's going to produce my record. So he produced the album Breezin', which had some great instrumentals, all things that he suggested. Mm-hmm. And then the song This Masquerade, the one vocal on it, changed my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
but I got to get off this horn, sister.
Okay, well, listen, George, we look forward to having you in our city, and we're grateful for your tremendous talent. And we'll see you in Nashville on September 18th.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.